This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by a suite of professional-grade products from Protocol for Life Balance, which helps support optimal cardiovascular health. Ubiquinol, natokinase, and MK7K2. They play a central role in cellular energy production and maintaining proper blood flow and arterial elasticity, but they're only available from healthcare practitioners. But they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance for more information and to order. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Write this email address down, radioprogram@aol.com. Pretty easy, radioprogram@aol.com. That's the destination for questions. And we got some really good ones this week. I want to thank our audience for participating. It really helps to generate interesting discussions when you send us your questions. So what's next, Layla?
We have an email from Nancy. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Can you help with my 69-year-old sister with rheumatoid arthritis? After a hepatitis shot over 30 years ago, she acquired RA. Mm-hmm. She now has Hashimoto's and Lyme's disease. She's tried so many different things, and most were alternative-based. She eats an anti-inflammatory diet. She takes good vitamins. And she lost 40 pounds about 5 years ago, but it just happened. That wasn't mm-hmm. planned. Mm-hmm. Her fingers are so mangled, and I'm mm-hmm. so worried about her. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that can help?
Okay.
Just her fingers and toes.
Okay, so you know, let's talk about the relationship between the vaccine and the onset of this. I mean, of course, that could be coincidental, you know, but is there any plausibility that a vaccine can trigger rheumatoid arthritis? And the answer is maybe, because the idea in terms of vaccine development is that there are adjuvants, substances that are included with the vaccine that stimulate the immune system. And rheumatoid arthritis is the product of an out-of-control, overstimulated immune system. So I'm not entirely sure that's, you know, what correlation isn't necessarily causation.
Yeah.
But maybe there is something to that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the anti-inflammatory diet, first of all.
Yeah.
There happens to be, and I have it open in front of me, a study in the June edition of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition entitled Anti-Inflammatory Diet in Rheumatoid Arthritis, a randomized controlled crossover trial indicating diet effects on disease activity. So, okay, so you would think that this would be the definitive word on do anti-inflammatory diets really help rheumatoid arthritis? I mean, it's high time because, you know, I remember when the Arthritis Association would say diet has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Oh.
And they continue to, you know, take somewhat of a skeptical view, but they do say that, you know, for some people, occasionally diet can make a difference. You know, they're starting to open up a little bit to this notion that food matters. Okay. So what did the study show? They say that this trial indicates positive effects of a proposed anti-inflammatory diet on disease activity in patients with RA, mm-hmm. but it wasn't that spectacular. It really wasn't that spectacular. And so it generated an editorial in the self-same edition of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition that says this, and I'm quoting, "Proof is still needed that an anti-inflammatory diet can benefit rheumatoid arthritis patients." Okay? So they're saying, the study shows some benefits, but we don't know yet. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. I looked at their anti-inflammatory diet.
Uh-oh.
And, did you check your blood pressure today, Layla?
Uh-oh.
So here's what their anti-inflammatory breakfast was: low-fat fermented dairy with granola containing seeds and berries and nuts.
Oh, no. Gluten and dairy.
Fiber-enriched oats. Low-fat milk, walnuts, some blackberries and pomegranate, which are anti-inflammatory. They've got, you know, anti-inflammatory polyphenols. That's good. Okay. And a probiotic shot, whatever that is, The main meal was salmon or cod, and beans, chickpeas, or lentils, wheat berries, and bulgur, whole grain, potatoes.
Bulgur's gluten too.
Pasta, whole grain, 10% yogurt, creme fraiche, vegetables, mango, rapeseed oil, rice vinegar, soy sauce, honey, spices, lime, lemon, and a banana, apple, pears for snacks. Now, this diet, you got to admit, is better than standard American diet, right?
You're talking about a donut sandwich and a bucket of flan as being the standard American diet.
Right.
This diet is better, yes.
Yes. It's not, you know, KFC. It's not pizza. You know, okay.
Right.
But if, let's say, you are going to spend it probably costs hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to do this study. If you were consulted as the nutritionist to put together the ideal anti-inflammatory diet, would it be this diet?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, what would you propose, as the test case for anti-inflammatory diet in rheumatoid arthritis?
Okay. Anti-inflammatory, and especially in the case of autoimmunity like rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. The removal of gluten and dairy is critical.
Yes.
Absolutely. So
we want like a quasi-paleo diet, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And some people would even argue that the lectins in
beans, lentils, all of that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So going paleo is probably the ultimate anti-inflammatory diet, because you're not going to see any refined grains or flours there. You're not going to see sugars and artificial sugars there. You're not going to see additives, preservatives, things of that nature, carrageenan.
So what can you eat?
Plenty.
Okay.
Plenty. You can eat all sorts of protein sources, your beef, your lamb, your pork, your poultry, your fish, your wild game.
Eggs.
A variety of vegetables. Now, in the case of rheumatoid arthritis, I would eliminate the nightshade family of vegetables.
The nightshade, yes, right.
Which are tomatoes, peppers of all sorts, eggplant, tobacco, as well as peppers. All the peppers. Did I say peppers?
Yes.
And potatoes.
Right.
Besides, you could have sweet potato.
Right.
And really radically cleaning up the diet, but you must do this for a period of a few months to see.
Let me look at the duration on this. Duration was
on this diet
10 weeks. 10 weeks.
It doesn't even matter because the diet is poor.
10 weeks.
The methodology is poor.
I'm thinking 10 weeks is, it's tough to keep people on a restricted diet, but 10 weeks, I think, is not enough to show the benefits. I would say, you know, if a patient came to me with rheumatoid arthritis, I'd say, look, you got to be patient with us. You know, we're absolutely going to, I would love to see you get a benefit in 90 days. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. If not, I would still say, try it again for another 90 days. Re-up. That's a half a year. Half a year.
Exactly.
You know, and then
that inflammation didn't occur overnight. It's not going to go away in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Maybe in a year, two, three, you could see benefits. I know that's disappointing for some people. They want quick results. So in the editorial, they also comment that, you know, patients following the anti-inflammatory diet were, quote, instructed to use oil or margarine for cooking. Really?
What?
Really?
That is so pro-inflammatory. Forget it.
Yeah.
The methodology, this study is terrible.
Yeah.
I'm so surprised that it's in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition for crying out loud. Really?
No, I tell you, though, I will say this, is from the standpoint of scientific rigor, you know, with the charts and the statistical manipulations, it's beautifully done. It's just that they start with the wrong premise.
Yeah, you know, that's not an anti-inflammatory diet.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so anyway.
You know.
Let's presume this person is on the ideal anti-inflammatory diet. They haven't gotten better. Look, I mean, it's not, I will say this, it's not 100%. These diets don't necessarily always cure rheumatoid arthritis. It's a likelihood you'll see some improvement. It can go from like a complete remission to partial improvement to minimal improvement. We don't know ahead of time how people are going to react. There's sometimes.
And the thing is, you know, Nancy's sister was diagnosed so long ago. She already has deformity in her fingers and her toes. That at this point, it's going to be hard.
We know some people who have a lot of deformity, but they don't have any active disease. You know, we can measure the SED rate and CRP, and they might just have deformed joints. You can't fix those. They're already deformed. You know, other things that could be used, I mean, yes, lots of fish oil. I also, one of the newer things I like to use for inflammation is SPMs.
Yes.
SPM is available from Metagenics. It's on FullScript. It is specific pro-resolving mediators. That's very nice anti-inflammatory. You know, adequate level, we really boost the levels of vitamin D. You know, we really want that for rheumatoid arthritis patients. Even rheumatologists are prescribing vitamin D for patients with rheumatoid arthritis. To give you an example, my mother, who really didn't really listen to my medical advice. I mean, she was frankly, you know, not the greatest patient. And I was treating her long distance because she was in California and I was in New York. And I said, I finally said, get your doctor to check your vitamin D. She said, well, they don't cover that on Medicare. I said, Mom, I'll send you whatever. What's it going to cost? $75. I'll send you the. So she finally had it done. You know what her vitamin D was?
Oh, what?
Seven.
My goodness. That's an emergency.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's, you know, so we, you know, gave her vitamin D, fixed her vitamin D. You know, lots of anti-inflammatories, curcumin, you know, these things can help.
Boswellian. Maybe UC2.
Yes, undenatured collagen type 2, sure.
Maybe like ModuCare as well.
Yes, that's a good by the same people make chiolic aged garlic extract. Good, okay.
Right.
You know, so those are some of the things that, you know, could be helpful here. And, you know, we have to customize the treatment to patients' needs. You know, we may discover one or another nutritional deficiencies or individual characteristics or food intolerances that people have. You know, the microbiome is important and, you know, leaky gut syndrome. If patients have that, we try to fix it. You know,
and a precursor to most autoimmune diseases is a leaky gut. So that needs to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, there you have it. I mean, it's, you know.
Nancy, there's a lot to do for your sister.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot to do, and it's very comprehensive.
Yes.
Very, very comprehensive.
But, you know, I just...
And, you know, she's autoimmune times two because she also has Hashimoto's.
Sure.
And now it's complicated by Lyme disease, which can also have arthritis symptoms.
And the first dietary measure for Hashimoto's is get off gluten. Just get off gluten.
Yep.
It really suggests that she has a gluten intolerance. So there you go. Let's take another break because we want to share some more information from one of our partners here on Intelligent Medicine. So here it goes. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com. Thanks for listening, and thank you for supporting our sponsors. They are what make Intelligent Medicine your free resource for Intelligent Medicine. So back to our questions, Layla. What's next?
Okay, we've got an email from Dan. Dr. Hoffman, I'm having pain from the screw heads in my tibia. Mm-hmm. I broke my ankle back in the beginning of December, and the screws in my tibia, there's a protrusion that sticks out. And the doctor says he can remove the screws in a simple procedure under local anesthesia. But due to the coronavirus, I don't want to do this at this time. So we've scheduled this for this upcoming December at an outpatient surgical center. Mm-hmm. Is there anything I can do in the meantime supplement-wise?
Right. You know, and
my pain level is intense at times.
I'm sorry to hear that. So here's the deal. I've been there, done that, except I had screws higher up. I had screws in my hip and down my leg. because I broke my femur, which is, you know, the upper part of the leg bone is, in effect, it's a hip fracture. Mm-hmm. And so they inserted a rod down my left femur, and it's kind of weird because there's this long metal rod made out of titanium that goes down the core of your bone, and in order to fasten it in place, a screw is inserted to the lateral side of above your knee. Mm-hmm. And they also have a piece in place right at the hip bone. Now, less so for women, but definitely for men, you can touch and feel your hip, you know, the outer part of your hip. And yes, it's pretty close to the surface. Now, women have more padding than men. I don't have a lot of padding. And mm-hmm. so when I lay on my side, I could feel those screws. And because the ankle is much more delicate and there's not a lot of fat and padding. It's very thin. And there's a lot of nerves down there. You're going to feel the presence of that screw as a foreign presence. I had mine taken out. I had the whole rod taken out, which is actually something that they do in younger people, but they generally don't do it in older people. So I was young enough at the age of 53, I think I was, to say, I want it out. So now I have no metal in me. And, you know, it was an elective thing, but I just didn't want that foreign feeling. I know what you're talking about, but in your case, you're not just having discomfort, you're having intense pain. Yeah. There is no supplement that's going to ameliorate that. Right. That is a physical presence that has to be alleviated. The screw is in place to hold the bone together while it knits. It has knitted, so it's now permissible to take the screw out. I don't think they're going to take the whole hardware out. There's probably some hardware in place that's, you know, holding the bone together. It's too implicated with the bone to take it out. It would damage the bone to take it out. But in my case, you could just simply pull that thing out. Kind of scary to contemplate, but, you know, I asked the doctor, I said, is that an easy procedure? I mean, you're going to be pulling this thing out of the, you know, it's like,
right out of bone marrow, Dr. Hoffman.
It's like 2 feet long. I mean, it's like, not 2 feet, but it's like a foot and a half long. You're going to pull this thing out. And he goes, this is the bedside manner of my surgeon. He goes, that's my problem. And I go, how is that just your problem if you're going to be up to your elbows in my leg?
Yeah.
And he goes, and he laughed. And he laughed. You know, so, and the net effect of that is that, you know, it hurt and I was said to be in the hospital afterwards, but, you know, I recovered. So, get it out. If thine screw offend thee, pluck it out.
There you go.
To paraphrase the Bible.
Right.
Right.
Dan, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, waiting for December is a long time, but that's just my opinion.
Again, I mean, under the casualty of COVID-19, there's a lot, you know, the people who are not even sick with the virus, they're having health problems that are being exacerbated or prolonged because of scheduling, because of, you know, this is what I see. Maybe he could just get a curbside procedure, you know?
Curbside.
He could just, like, you know, pull up in his car, you know, just you know, open a passenger door. They'll shoot a little anesthetic into his ankle.
Yeah, and, just stick your ankle out the window.
The guy will get his guy will get his power drill out and, like, and, you know, right?
Right.
Curbside pickup. Like, okay, you're done. See you later. Go home.
Golly. Oh, well. Dan, we're sorry you're in pain. We hope you can remedy that soon so you can feel better.
Yeah.
Thank you for your email.
Yep. All right.
Let's see. Oh, we have something similar here. This comes from Rona.
Right.
Rona writes, my husband recently broke a bone in his foot, needing to wear a boot for weeks.
Oh, okay.
What supplements might quicken the healing process?
Well, I did, you know, a few years back, I did a protocol for healing bone fractures.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of that has changed.
Yes.
You know, I do like, using
Austenol.
Austenol, yes, because it's bone morphogenetic protein. Thank you.
Yeah.
Make sure you have adequate vitamin D. Vitamin C is also essential for repair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's actually interesting. They've done some studies on this pain syndrome that develops. They used to call it post-traumatic neuralgia. They used to call it complex. They call it CRP now, complex regional pain syndrome.
Oh.
Where after an injury, especially to the ankle, you can develop a very devastating and hard-to-treat pain syndrome, you know, which doesn't go away. With vitamin C, you can prevent it to some extent. You reduce the likelihood that you'll develop chronic pain. So absolutely take vitamin C.
Vitamin C, that's interesting.
Do you remember, were you around when I had my hip fracture?
Yes, I was.
You know, mm-hmm. that I couldn't go anywhere, but I had house calls. I had, you know, the nurse who was working in the office, she would work in the office, and then at the end of the day, she would bring a bag of vitamin C to my apartment. And she would, in the first couple of weeks, I think I had almost, you know, 14 days of intravenous vitamin C. Every day I had intravenous vitamin C to promote the healing process. And, you know, that was one of the things. You know, you may want to also have a source of some calcium, but, you know, like a mixed product like Osteothera or Osteosupport.
Make sure there's some magnesium in there. You want to make sure some D as well. Vitamin D levels should be adequate at least.
Boron, lysine are some of the cofactors for bone repair. These are some of the things. Anti-inflammatories, you know, I think fish oil is in order as well.
Yeah.
Curcumin, because there's some inflammation associated with that, might be helpful. You know.
What would you say to systemic enzymes in a case like this?
Thank you. At the time of acute injury or at the time of surgery, something like Wobenzyme would be very appropriate. You know, maybe three times a day. You have to take it on an empty stomach away from food, because otherwise it simply digests the food and it doesn't get into your systemic circulation. But yes, thank you. You know, you know, together we have a brain.
We try. Right. Oh, Rona, we hope your husband feels better soon. Okay.
I mean, top of the list of those, proteolytic enzymes, combined with, you know, things like, quercetin and so on.
Okay. All right. So, do we have time for another question?
Yeah, we have time for another question. One more.
Okay. We've got from Randy. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I've been listening to you discuss my favorite olive oil for years. And recently I listened to Dr. Gundry,
the Plant Paradox.
Plant Paradox.
We interviewed him.
I listened to Dr. Gundry discuss why olives grown in harsh environments produce significantly more polyphenols than olives grown in mild climates. I believe him in that it makes sense that stress to a plant causes the plant to protect itself. And in the case of olives, it seems reasonable that more polyphenols are the result of a harsh desert climate like Morocco. So how does this stand up to, how do I know the polyphenol saturation of olive oil as presented by T.J. Robinson and the Fresh Press Olive Oil Club as compared to what Dr. Gundry
You know, one of our sponsors is the Fresh Press Olive Oil Club, myfavoriteoliveoil.com. You know, they're basically coming at it at the same thing in slightly different ways. Gundry is talking about a phenomenon called phytoalexins. These are substances produced by plant tissues in response to contact with a parasite, or in response to stress. And the parasite is not like a, you know, a worm parasite, it's a fungus, you know. But, plants have to develop, defenses because they get attacked. And, usually that generates substances that are beneficial to people. So an example of which is the, maritime pine, which is a source of pycnogenol. And if you've ever been to the south of France, you know, you see along the Mediterranean coast in the mountains, you see these pines, but they're not like, you know, Christmas trees. They're like very gnarly pines. And they're, you know, perched on these precipices, and there's this wind, and it's a harsh environment, and they adapt to it. And they, these pines are very long-lived pines, and they elaborate substances that are beneficial polyphenols, like pycnogenol. Pycnogenol is an extract of a maritime pine. But you can also get it from grape seeds. I mean, not pycnogenol, but the grape seeds contain these beneficial substances. And the more challenged that a plant is, the more it will generate that. So that's why the, you know, the wormy apple, or, you know, the apple that looks slightly bruised and looks like it's been through the wars.
Yes.
Maybe, you know, smaller, and it may be healthier for you.
It may be healthier because of the,
But I don't worry about the you know, the phytoalexin content of the fresh pressed olive oil, because the flavor of olive oil, the piquancy of our olive oil, if I'm pronouncing the word correctly, that slight bitterness is a signature of the presence of these beneficial polyphenols in olive oil. And so T.J. Robinson selects the olive oils for the rich taste.
Yeah.
And that is the signature for the presence of these beneficial compounds, like, you know, 5-hydroxytyrosol, for example. You know, all these oleuropein, which are these wonderful compounds in olive oil, heart healthy, you know, maybe the basis for the benefits of the Mediterranean diet.
And you know, it's just delicious.
Yeah. But, you know, Americans find it cloying. Many Americans say, oh, you know, that olive oil is so too strong. You know, it's like, they want it like refined. You know,
I love that very fruity flavor. Well, a lot of people don't.
You know, they just want it bland. So, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to have a tint. Because that's exaggerated. You know, some, there's some olive oils that are like very green. Well, they leave some residue of olives in them so that they look greener. And that convinces the consumers that they're the real deal. You know, they, it's like whole wheat bread. You know, it's dark bread.
Yeah.
It's like green olive oil. Well, it doesn't have to be green. It can be amber and still have these compounds in it. So, you know, I've done several shows on the benefits of olive oil and, you know, the taste characteristic of olive oil. And, you know, I'm pretty satisfied that those tasty olive oils that he gathers from different places. And, you know, he talks about this. He says, you know, that it just requires exactly the right conditions. It can't be, you know, it's sometimes nice when there's a cold snap or when there's a little bit of a drought. And that brings out the flavor in the olive oil. And he's, you know, he actually has like a meteorological chart, you know, which just looks at the entire world and he goes, oh, wow, I got to go to Australia because, man, they got some great climatic, you know, patterns developing that suggest that they're going to have a wonderful harvest. It's kind of like, you know, predicting, you know, the stock market is like, you know, which olive oil is going to be like the best olive oil harvest of the year. It's like, oh, Europe is not good. Whatever, you know, it's not enough rain.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we've got to fly to whatever. New Zealand or something. I don't know. Chile is another place, you know, that he goes to. You know, so yeah, it's a, it's kind of a, it's an interesting phenomenon, but olive oil is just phenomenal. You know, I think it's one of the, what would you say the top four functional foods? I would say, you know, EPA from oily fish is right up there.
Yes.
You know, olive oil has got to be up there. You know, I think the blueberries and the, you know, the berry family, the dark, blue, those purple compounds have got to be up, you know, pomegranate and tea, you know, and, you
and
know,
tea.
We can get the spices if we want, you know, but, you know, those are some of the top functional foods. Hey, let's throw chocolate in there, cocoa, you know, right?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Randy, thank you for that very thoughtful question.
Yes, and thank you for listening. We're running a little short on time. Thank you, Layla, for joining us this week. All you folks out there, stay safe as we emerge from lockdown and enjoy your summer. Spend some time outside.
And keep questions coming. Yes, questions. Do go outside. Fresh air.
Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. Keep them coming. We'll be back next week with more of our weekly Q&A with Layla. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.